So I stayed there 2 weeks. And then we used to be in correspondence. She used to write to me every Friday before Shabbos. She used to send me a letter. It became really a big love. And then she used to send me the ticket to come every summer, like for 4 weeks, and then 6 weeks, and then one day I stayed a whole year. And I learned the language, and I spoke Dutch very good. I couldn't read because I didn't go to school. And then my mother put a hold to that. She said, she wanted to adopt me. She said, next time you won't come back at all. So I wasn't allowed to go. But we stood in correspondence the whole year. Now when Hitler walked in and I left for England, so on the hook of Holland, I called her up. And she said, why do you go to England? Why not coming to Holland? So I said, well, I have already my ticket and I'm going to England. Then we stood in correspondence on that short time, and the war broke out. So there was nothing anymore to do. Where I worked, there was another girl working, and she was getting married. And I was invited to the wedding. And when I was at the wedding, I met there an uncle of hers. And I asked him if he has heard what became of the chief rabbi from North Brabant and Limburg and his family. And the name was Hertius. H-E-E-R-T-J, like in Joseph, E-S. And he was a Spaniard.
He was what?
Spain. From Spain.
Oh, this man you were talking to.
That Mr. Hertius, the chief rabbi. He was marvelous. He was tall and a beard, and he wore that ornate like the priest here. That was the wore there.
This was the husband of the woman.
Yeah.
Whose house you...
Yeah. Her name was Martha. Martha Hertius. I have even picture from all the children. And that man said, I said, somebody should be, I said, his brother had in Amsterdam a carpet, big import carpet shop. Maybe you can remember what became of that. You know, and he could find them for me. You know, the country isn't that big. They found it and we became in correspondence again. And then her granddaughter got married. Some of the children, some people did hide them. You know, the children were in different places. She had in the meantime 5 girls.
No boys.
no boys. And the children were in different places. One was in a bakery store, one was in a nurse. It was a nurse, and she worked the time in the hospital. And so they had the children everywhere put away. When you read the story about Anne Frank, that remind me, and I still have some paper, it could have been made a story of that. Like one of the girls, the youngest, she was the prettiest, they were hiding her in a family on top of the house. Mm-hmm. See, you have to know, the house is built in Holland, go up, they don't have much ground. Mm-hmm. So they built everything up. The steps go very steep. And like if they have groceries, they have like a roll on top, and they put the basket down, and the people put it in the basket, and they roll up again to up there. The furniture has to go in from the outside. So every house which is built has to have a real big hook, you know, and very sturdy, because you can take, say, for instance, a piano up there too. So, as I say, what was that they been hiding that girl with another few people up on top? And it was like with Anne Frank about this. I have that paper, this original paper from Holland during that occupation.
How many of the children were saved?
Well, I tell you, the one stayed with the family, and there was a young man, the kid was about 17 years old, and the man was about 35, and he wanted to have an affair with her, and she didn't want to. So he gave her away, Jewish, mind you. He gave her away, and they took her to the concentration camp, and she died. Then there was another girl. That was the older one. That was Annie. And she said, if she comes out of the concentration camp, she's going to adopt one of those children, you know, who come out from concentration camp or hiding, and that's what she did. And the other one, and she lived it, and then when I went to that wedding from her adopted daughter, really, it was her brother's, her uncle's child, and she was saved. Then the one went, and she stayed in the hospital, and she got sick, of course. She tended to the old refugees, and she died. And then there was another one, she was saved, and she got married, she lived, she had children. I went to their wedding too.
Three were saved?
Three were saved.
What about Martha and her husband?
Well, when the war was over, you know, you have to, Schorchert wasn't there, and nothing. So he went, he traveled the whole time, you see, to see that the people have for Shabbos a dinner. And money he had, you know, so he helped them in every way.
So and he and his wife Martha survived?
Yeah. I have a lot of pictures for all those things. Martha became the wife from Hertis, you know, the grandmother, became now the whole block. And the children used to invite her to their home. And she used to have a room in their home.
Did they remain in
Holland? She was such a beautiful woman, you know.
That was your friend, the one who helped you.
Yeah, who took me over Zendens.
Yes.
I called her aunt, Tante Martha. She really was from Germany. You know, he came from Spain and she came from Germany.
They had a very strong interest. They had a very strong influence in their life.
Yeah. And, you know, Shabbos, a Shabbos meal there was so gorgeous. And she knew I wasn't that religious. They knew it. But they didn't care. I fit in. And then when I lived in England, and I have even the invitation here. You know, like the right invitation. One side is in Hebrew letters, the other one is in Dutch. They had a wedding you never saw. I went here to many weddings. I never saw a wedding like that. You know, and I went from here special to the wedding, to Holland.
You went from America or
from America. The temple in the shul.
What year was that?
I don't know anymore. I would have to look that up. In shul was everything had a nameplate where you sit. It's not like you go here to the wedding, you can sit where you want. You can't sit where you want.
Your daughter's wedding?
What?
Is this your daughter's wedding?
The granddaughter.
Oh.
She had the gown bought in Brussels. She came to the temple with white horses. You never see anything like it. It was such, you know, drawn with horses. The father has taken over the whole hotel. And the food came, you know, Holland wasn't there. He didn't have such a place, a kosher place or anything. So all the food and the people were imported from Brussels. You know, and like at the door, they were standing with a soup tureen that you don't have to carry it from far. They were hot. They had two orchestras. Between each meal, they play the orchestra and dancing, of course. And there were people giving speeches. You know, and then say, I come so far from the States. I had to give a speech. They honored me there. You know, unbelievable. And you know, you started eating. And then you started eating again. The most delicious food. I never even ate it. So I'm still, some died already. I have to write one. I was very sick. So I lost touch. So I have to see if I can find them again. Mm-hmm. You know, and one daughter was married, and she was, that was from England. And they were so religious, so they went back. They had to give them food back. They wouldn't eat anywhere. My aunt wouldn't have taken a glass of water anywhere. Mm-hmm. Not a glass of water. Mm-hmm. That's in them. Religion, goodness. So that when you ask me if I have an interesting life, you know, it comes back to me. What I really... And when I came here, I make easy friends. Or am I friendly with people like me? I don't know. So I remembered that we had a club. Now they do some for the people, for the single people. Years ago, nobody did anything here. You know, like, I mean, again, for the Jewish. Here was nothing. I remember we booked in Temple Sinai. I used to be the treasurer. We booked in Sinai a room. Then when somebody came and gave them more money, they took it away from us. And the only...
This room you're talking about, what was that for?
Single people.
Okay.
Club for single people. Single Jewish people. Female and male. Because there was no place to go to. You know, don't forget, to that time we had nothing here in Pittsburgh. I was really the forerunner.
Sounds like
what made you join Temple Sinai? When did you join?
No, I didn't join Temple Sinai.
Then how were you treasurer?
We booked the room and paid for the room.
Oh.
Somebody came and offered them more money, Gentile or what? They took it away from us.
At Temple Sinai?
Yes.
The only nice people, you never saw an organization or a temple, is the Temple Rod of Sholom. They gave us, if they promised us a room, you know, they would lit up the whole building. And have people, they had to have people coming. And they gave us the kitchen, we could cook and everything. That's why I became then a member of Rod of Sholom, because you haven't seen anybody so generous as they were. We could have the meeting when we wanted, if it was free, and somebody could come and have a big wedding or what, and give them a lot of money, they wouldn't change it. Once they booked us, that is...
When did you join?
What?
When did you join there?
Oh, that was already... must have been 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then...
Was Rabbi Priehoff still there as rabbi, or was after?
Oh, Priehoff? Yeah.
It was after?
Rabbi Jacob visited me now in the hospital.
Yes, but when you joined...
I didn't join it to that time. I joined for the club, but not as a member.
Mm-hmm. Did you become a member later?
Is that later, yeah. Because I found out there's the most nicest. Mm. And then they don't make a distinction between rich and poor. Because
does that...
I was afraid to join, that it'll be too expensive for me. But then I became with a lot of people there, friends.
Mm-hmm. Does this single club still exist?
Pardon?
The clubs for single people, do they...
They have started now a new one. Mm-hmm. Rod of Sholem starts, but I wouldn't join. I'm already too old for that. No. But that is very good to have for Jewish people a place where to go.
Certainly.
And people to that time were very nice, you know, I don't drive or never drove. And they always picked me up and took me home. I never had to worry. Then I joined it used to be on Belfield Avenue, the club. You know, before they built here the JCC.
The YMHA.
I became a member there. I really joined. I like people. That's the trouble with me. I like people.
Why did you say that's the trouble? Why did you say that's the trouble with me?
You know, because people, not everybody joins a crowd or build a crowd. We were there right away. We went a few together. I was a dressmaker. There were teachers. There were secretaries. And we used to go out in the evening then, somewhere to eat for a bite, not a big meal. That's why I say, I like a crowd. I like people. Mm-hmm. I can't help that there was... And when I had my store, it's the same thing. I have a name which is very unusual. You know, everybody knows me. If they don't know me, they know of me. And nobody has anything else bad to say about me. And that is very unusual too. And that comes again because I like people. When I had my business, I like to please everybody. And I never made a fuss. When somebody came and they wanted in the last minute something done, I would accommodate me. And this, thank. I said, don't thank me. You pay, I'll do it for you. I don't want any thanks. And when I got the first time sick and went to the Presbyterian hospital, there was the whole hospital up in arms. Everybody called up, come, calls and flowers. is this and who is that person? So what can you do? You become sick. That's it. I really would. I thought it can go on forever to have my place.
How old were you when you left Vienna?
Must have been 28, I think.
What's your birth date?
Did you see some write-ups about it?
Gisela, could I make copies of this and give this back to you?
That you can have a copy, yeah.
Oh, I'd like to put it in with the rest of the material. Besides the singles club, did you, and the Road of Show and Temple, did you have belong to any other organizations?
No, I used to give money to Hadassah and all that. And I am really now, I dropped out now the Hadassah. Mm-hmm. I said I have been, I don't know, remember for 25 years or what. And I said I paid all the time my dues. And then when I was so sick, I said nobody came to see me. Nobody called up. And I said that's terrible. Yes. I said, you don't have money for anything, but you can pick up the phone, I said, or visit me, or call up, or do something. They didn't do nothing, and they called me up the other day, and I said, no, I'm not going to pay a membership. I said, what for? Oh, there are all elderly people now and all that. I said, that's no excuse. It's no excuse. Everybody know that I was very sick. They didn't even think I'm going to make it. And I'm alone. You see?
Do you have any other relatives here?
I have nobody. Nobody cares about me. And that is that. My doctor adores me. That's why he always said, I live, you will live, I'll take the best care of you. And which is really true.
Who's the doctor?
Ellis. Lawrence Ellis. Lawrence. Or Larry Ellis. He has a lot of compassion and everything.
And so you don't have any of the relatives? Do they visit you?
Yeah, I have cousins, but everybody said they have their own life to live and can't take care of me.
What about your brother, the attorney?
My brother is in New York, and he is old and, I don't know, sick, and New York is different than Pittsburgh. They have the help service there. And first he had a guardian ad litem. He had a lot of money and they stole from him the money.